Okay, this is it. This is episode 100. We did it.
Yay, woo, 100.
I guess that means we can stop. I don't know what that means. Yeah, so I thought about doing some sort of like clip show and or some kind of special event, and then I realized I was taking like a month to come up with an idea for something to do, and then I realized I didn't want to listen to old episodes to come up with a clip show. Mm-hmm. And I've had a person tell me there was one good bit we did, and I'm like, oh, maybe I should find that. And then I did ask him what that bit was. Uh-huh. And apparently he was saying it was from an episode we did where we talked about the Babadook.
Uh-huh.
And then that was funny. Mm-hmm. So
that could have been any time. The Babadook had been out for well long after we started doing this, I think.
I think we have one like labeled something about the Babadook. Hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
But here we are.
But I have no memory of that episode at all, which.
No, I don't remember anything about that either. So,
yeah,
you know, and so this is it. This is what this is where we're at with 100 episodes in. We're at not remembering what we've said in the past and also not wanting to listen to it.
Yeah. I mean, if you'd like wanted ideas for a 100th episode, I have one right now, is that we would do a flashback bit, but we would just, you know, make up totally fabricated flashbacks of things that never actually happened.
Oh, like we'd have to like write it or something, or we just try to, because here's what I don't trust is our ability to improv through a flashback.
Fair enough.
I have thought about taking improv classes to like help that, but it's another thing that I've just not followed through on even investigating.
I think I'd be pretty good at improv. I remember like I had like, I don't know why it was a waste of credits or it was required or something, but like I had to take a drama course in college. I don't know why I took it. It was like, I think it's because you had to take so many electives, and the elective like couldn't have anything to do with anything you actually cared about. Like that was the rule. Like your electives can't be anything that you're interested in. So I took drama as an elective, and we had like, you know, a couple times where we did like improv stuff, and I was really good at that. I was the best person. Like at one point, like we were just running through like new scene, new scene, new scene, and the teacher was just like, you stay up there because you're great and you make all of the scenes better. Like I had to stay up and do improv the whole time while all the rest of the class cycled in and out because I was so much better than everyone. He just kept me up there. So, you go. That's.
Well, then let me ask you this. Why aren't we funnier on this thing? I need you to pull me up to your left.
I guess it's because you're not like prompting me with like a location and a concept, and you know.
Okay. Well, if we had like an audience, maybe that would help. If we had anybody else in the room.
Okay, Oprah Winfrey in a copy shop. I'd like some scones. I don't know. That's all I got.
Yeah. I do like that. See, that right there proves you're already better, because I just kind of froze. I just kind of froze on that and was just like, would the guy say that'll be like 350? Or what does he say now? Then I thought, well, don't say that. That's not funny at all. Like, that's not a joke.
Yeah. Good luck with that improv class.
See, that's why I need the class. But yeah, I took two different acting classes as well. And you know what helps me act better is a script. Like, that's what really helps me.
Yes. I get the words. Not having to, like, off the cuff think of ideas and things.
Yeah, it's also why I really like asynchronous messaging, because, like, I'm able to just, like, think through my entire response and then write something.
I see.
But, yeah.
So conversations are just a nightmare for you.
Oh, Anna hates talking to me sometimes because she hates how long I think through. Like, she'll ask me a question that she thinks is just like a simple question, and I'll just like roll it around in my head and be completely silent for like 3 minutes. And she's just like, "Are you going to answer the question?" And I'm like, let me think through it. Just let me think through what my answer is on this thing.
And then you're like, and she's like, pass.
But I just want to make sure, like, I phrase it in exactly the right way,
uh-huh.
You know, so that whatever my answer is like, perfect. It, like, explains what I'm actually thinking about in a way that conveys the message correctly.
I think
and
I
stuff,
do so. That, too. But also, Robbie gets very mad if he thinks I'm not paying attention to him because I don't answer the question right away. I do that, too. Here's the thing, though, is so sometimes instead of like thinking about the way to answer the question, I will just start monologuing.
You just say, no.
No, I will just start monologuing my thought process as I answer the question. And so then it's just like, here's a 30-minute tirade to explain everything I'm thinking as I answer your question. And then he's just like, I wanted a yes or a no. And it's like, well, you wanted the answer right away, so you had to wait for me to go through every possible nook and cranny of potential options before I could just give you an answer.
Yeah, man, I don't know if that would work. Partly because some of my, like, maneuvering in my head about what my answer is going to be is to, like, avoid saying something like, just like hurtful outright, and I have to talk myself out of saying something.
It's like, do you want to go to like, dinner with my friends? It's like, well, I hate your friends, so I don't want to, but I could tell that this is something that's important to you, so I'm guessing we're probably going to have to do it anyway. So I'm going to figure out how to build up the emotional energy to do this horrible task, so maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. But like when she tells me, like sometimes on the weekends, she'll be like, I'm going to hang out with my girlfriends for the evening. And I'm just like, great. And she's like, are you not upset that we're not spending time together tonight? And I don't know how to say like, no, I want to play video games tonight. And you leaving.
I just want to play video games and eat pizza, and I get to do both if you're not around to bug me.
That was last night. Did exactly that last night, because she was like, "Oh, I'm gonna go watch the Tonys." Do you
absolutely
wanna come?
Not.
And I'm like, "Nah, I'm good."
I hate that for multiple reasons.
So yeah, exactly that. But yeah, if I learn to like, if I can have an improv class teach me how to not do that, just say things off the top of my head. But, oh, man. So I'm still, if you can believe it, I'm still playing Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, really? Rebirth. What happened there?
What do you mean?
Okay.
It's just a lot of game. It's got way more stuff than the first one. And now you said you're not going to play it immediately.
I still haven't even thought about buying it. Mm-hmm. And also like I never got Final Fantasy 16. Is that the latest one?
Yeah, but this is better than 16.
Well, that's encouraging. I don't know. I have fallen off the Final Fantasy bandwagon a bit. Like I feel like my peak enjoyment of the Final Fantasy series was 12. And I have like the redone version, which is even better, like the remastered version that does the skill tree stuff the way that I felt like they should have in the first place. So I've got that, and I feel like every Final Fantasy after that has been worse. Like 13 was like worse. That's the only one that I couldn't bear to finish.
I'm sure I've complained about that game on this podcast before, but it's awful.
15 was also like not great, but it was fine. It was fine, but it wasn't good enough for me to like do the extra stuff. I just finished the story and was done. I didn't fight any of the big epic monsters or do any of the grindy shit. I wasn't engaged enough to do that.
Oh yeah, I maybe for lack of having a different game to move on to, I did some of the extra stuff. There's
things like the adamantories, like the giant monster stuff, like
sure.
Yeah.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, like I didn't do any of that crap. And also it was just so dumb because some of the stuff you had to like go back in time to like the before times to do things.
Oh, all the stuff.
And that was the other thing, like
yeah.
The way that they did their in-game structure was just dumb in the first place. Anyway, there's a lot of reasons why I hated that one. 7, 8, 9, and 10, fine. 12 was great. But then after that, like, meh. But I mean, I guess the only other one since 12 is 13, 15, and now 16, because the other 11 and 14 were MMOs. So
yeah,
I guess I haven't missed out on that many because they haven't really made that many. But like I said before, like I feel like once they get all of the final, like once all the Final Fantasy VII remasters are done, they'll probably release another big collection that's just got everything in it. And I can just wait for that because otherwise it's like, you know, waiting 5 years between like Star Wars movies for the next one in the sequel or something. And I just, I'd rather just like play it all as one big chunk when the opportunity comes. And I feel like there's going to be a version.
I'm still playing it. Like, I don't remember when I started playing it. Few months ago, probably because I don't have a ton of like dedicated time throughout the week to play video games, that like I get a couple hours here or there or something, and I couldn't really imagine playing through all three chapters of this game in one go. Because like the first one felt pretty long, and you don't have to do the hard mode stuff, but there's some interesting stuff in the hard mode. But then this game is just so much denser. Like there's so much more stuff to it.
Yeah.
And then there's the DLC thing for the first game. And it's like, by the time, like I enjoyed playing the like Spider-Man 2 remaster and then the Miles Morales DLC, but then I was like, I need a break. And I feel like if you played the first one and then started up on this one, you'd be like, I don't know.
I think I need a break. We have to see.
And then you wouldn't finish.
I mean, I have a lot more time for video games than you do. Like the game that I started since one of the games that I started since our last podcast, I've apparently already played for 249 hours. So there you go.
I think I'm only up to like 100 hours or something. But I am in like the end game set of stuff now. So I've gotten to like the last chapter, I'm pretty sure. And all of the extra like wrap it up side quest stuff has unlocked, and all the extra, you know, battle mode or like battle arena things are open, and so I think I can do that. And all the extra Queen's Blood, which is their card game, that is actually pretty good.
No triple triad, huh?
like I don't even like card games. I do not engage in the card games, but I have gotten into this card game, and there's this silly, like really goofy, like narrative device around the card games. Mm-hmm. This like secret, like phantom curse sort of thing around the card game that the creator made or something. So it's very, a lot of this stuff just feels very anime.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I talked about my like running across like finding two of my favorite side quests that popped up in this game since the last time we talked about it, but they're so good. Do you remember a character named Johnny from the first remake?
Yes. Is that the guy that was trying to get into the honeybee place, or is that someone else?
Yeah, it was that guy.
Okay, yeah.
And he had like the red pompadour or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he always like ran off like super quick from you. Well, he's back, and there's a side quest that spins off of a plot point where you get Yuffie in your party in this game, and she's a ninja, and so you know there's that like anime trope of being able to like put a charm on somebody and duplicate them, and so she like she like during this like boss fight on the beach, because this is the beach episode of the anime when you go to Costa del Sol, and you're like having to fight a boss on the beach, and she duplicates and makes hundreds of Johnnies to like overwhelm this like boss.
So she does like some kind of weird Naruto attack.
And it's so good, and it's so dumb, and I love it so much. And then the side quest is there's all of these extra Johnnies running around. And so you've got to go like find the extra Johnnies, and they're all like doing different odd jobs. Cause Johnny, the main Johnny, has like tried to start his own hotel on the beach. And so all of these extra Johnnies are like helping him out. And you gotta track down the Johnnies.
Do you gotta like track him down and like kill them or something? Like what is the...
Oh no, you track them down and they return back to the main Johnny. And so, yeah.
Is that good or bad?
It's good. Like, it's good. Like, you end up...
Was it, like, absorbing his soul? Was he, like, weakened in a weakened state or something?
No, he was totally fine.
Okay.
He just didn't know where all his other Johnnies went.
Okay.
They were supposed to help him, like, build up and, like, refurbish this motel.
I see. So he just wanted his slave labor back.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, yeah, you have to, like, go, and they all have... They'll like refer to themselves as Johnny, and sometimes they all talk in sync and stuff. And so it's very good. And then there's the other side quest that I really loved was this one where you have to help an old lady like catch her chickens. So you have to like do this kind of tedious, the actual activity of the side quest is a little boring, which is like you throw out this thing and you have to lure chickens back to her ranch. Right. And so you go through all this stuff and you end up getting all the chickens back. And then the lady's like, oh, thank you so much for helping me get all the chickens back. How would you like a nice helping of fried chicken? And Cloud and Red 13 are just like, what? We just saved your chickens. And she's like, oh, but they're going to be so delicious. And so it like fades to black and you hear them like eating the chicken. And then it cuts back and like Red 13's just like so sad about like having to eat the chicken, but he was like, but it was delicious. And then as it like they're confronting their guilt of eating the chicken, it's playing the game over music.
It was game over for those chickens.
Yeah. And I just, as soon as that game over jingle started to play, I just died. It was so...
I feel like that's how the Spider-Man Catch the Pigeons quest should have ended.
He should have made them into a stew or something.
I really would have been fine with murdering all those damn pigeons after catching them, because that was such a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I mean, the pigeons were a problem, but...
That would have been very satisfying. Yeah. Okay, so you're still playing that game.
Yeah.
I, meanwhile, have played, like, several games in the meantime.
Yeah, I think...
Yeah.
Yeah, so you beat Dragon's Dogma 2.
Yes, I don't know if I told you about that. So it was very unsatisfying. Like, okay. I was... it was just... because you get far enough in the game, and then you go to in-game mode, and in-game mode sucks. Because there's only... there's only so many days basically, like, as far as I could tell, like, in in-game, like, the only way to, like, if you die or need to reload, like, they, I don't remember if you remember how the janky saves is a save, and then there's an in save, so, like, whenever you save, like, resting at an inn or one of your houses or something. And that save is, like, the one that, like, will update the state of, like, your character and your pawn to, like, everybody else. If you want to gain...
Oh, that, like, submits your stuff to the server?
So, like, there's in-saves, and then there's, like, just regular, like, auto-saves. It's also the only one that you can... Because auto saves happen outside of your control, it's also the only save you can go back to if, like, something gets fucked up, right?
That doesn't make any sense. What's the point of the auto save?
To ruin your life, basically, because, like, oh, I made a bad decision or this quest bugged out, and now I've got to go back to my last in save and play all the way over again because something went wrong. That's what I, as far as I can tell, is what the auto saves are for. Because there's only two options for, like, your game state. It's either the last time it auto-saved, which happens anytime you do stuff, or when you save at an inn.
So it's either roll back to just after the decision you didn't like, or 45 minutes ago.
Yes, or maybe a day ago. Who knows? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But, right. But at the in-game mode, if you die or whatever, it only goes back to an in-save. There's no more auto-saving at all. So, like, if you run across a boss that you didn't expect or a big monster or something, and it kills you, and you don't have some way to revive yourself, the I can't remember what they're called, the dragon shards or whatever, then you have to go all the way back to this in-save. But also, there's, like, time limits on all the stuff that you have to do, and there's only, like, so many days, like, after so many days, you can't rest at all, which means, basically, you get to a point where you can no longer save the game at all. Basically, what happens is all of the ocean in the world goes away. So, you know, like, in the first game, like, whenever you'd fall in the water, like, you'd get the brine would eat you and all that stuff. So imagine, like, ocean all over the place, and now it's all gone. So all of these other new places to explore and new monsters and all these new materials to get to upgrade some of your items and new items. And I didn't want to do any of that. I didn't want to go find any of that stuff because of the fucking time limit, crappy bullshit state that the world changed to made it so that I just didn't care. So I just went. Also, apparently I was already strong enough that it didn't fucking matter finding all this ultimate equipment anyway, because none of the fights in the in-game state were hard enough for me to even care about using that equipment anyway. I very easily beat all of the final enemies and finished the game anyway. And it was just, it was unsatisfying. Like, I was like, oh, I'm in in-game. Now I get to go do all this stuff. And it's like, no, fuck you. You don't get to do all this stuff. We put a horrible time limit and put a shitty, and it made a shitty save system even shittier. And so it just, I don't understand the point or why they did it, but it made it way less fun, and I didn't want to play the game anymore. And so I just finished the game, and I'll wait and see if they fix it, because I hated it so bad that I just don't want to go back.
Well, yeah, I guess it's good. I haven't bought in on that one yet. Maybe they'll fix it by the time I get to it, but that's a shame, because, yeah, I remember the end game for the first one being a real drag. So, like, it turns the whole area crazy, and it's just that big hole you've got to fall down.
Well, it just put a big crater in the center of town, but that didn't really, like, you could still go do other stuff though, right?
I think some things were locked away, but you could, most of what you could do at that point was just fall down that hole and then, like, try to find the right ledge you needed to land on to do a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the time limit thing, that sounds miserable, but I hate time limits in almost any game. Like, it's one of the reasons I've never played Majora's Mask and why I started and stopped, I don't know, one of the first two Fallout games. I think the first one, the one where you have to find the water chip, which apparently, like, you can get past that point. I just did not have, that game was too old. It was too old to play during an age where games had, like, advanced beyond those mechanics. So I had no patience for them.
Anyway, so I finished that game and was very unsatisfied because I didn't get to get all of my equipment and max it all out. Because they made it not fun at all to do. So I played a couple other games. Do you know Hades 2 is in early access?
Yeah, I was wondering if you got in on that.
Yeah, I've been playing that. And it's fine. I will say this. I might be in the minority, but I'm one of the people that thought, I think the first game was better.
Okay.
The new one, first of all, the new one added so much stuff. There's so many more features and things and all these different progressions and materials to collect and stuff. It's very overwhelming. And I feel like if you haven't played the first game at all, like, it's a lot to take in.
Uh-huh.
To do. The other thing is, I don't like the way the combat system works as much in this game, because, like, you remember in the first game you had dash, attack, special, and cast, right?
Uh-huh.
And this game, they have all of those, like, still, but cast is, well, I mean, I guess cast was always the same, no matter what weapon you chose. But everything's got an Omega version of the attack, and there's a dash and a sprint. And so basically every button has a press action, but also a press and hold action. So, like, you can attack by just tapping the button, mm-hmm. or you can do an Omega attack by pressing and holding the button. And then you charge it up, and then you release a different attack. And with dash, you can press the dash to do that, or you can sprint. And at first, the game was really bad. Like, they fixed it because so many people complained, but, like, originally the dash was shit. Like, you would dash, and it would be like 2 seconds before you could dash again. And it was, like, really, there were so many, like, attacks that was just, like, you know, there was this thing, be like, blah, blah, like, machine gunning, and, like, you're trying to dash, like, from something that's, like, pivoting around, rotating, machine gunning at you. It was, like, one of the very first, like, mini-boss things.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you could not dash fast enough because it takes so long for it to recharge to get away from it. But, I mean, like, their intent was that you were supposed to press and hold and sprint to get away from it rather than use the dash. But I think a lot of people were so spoiled by, like, the way the dash system worked in the first that they were, you know, like, I want to dash more often and you don't let me dash at all.
Yeah.
And they sped it up that you can dash faster and more often. And they also made the sprint a lot quicker because it was also slow. And it was just the game felt very slow at first and they sped it up. But I still don't like it as much because of all the press and hold crap. Like, I feel like it, I don't know. To me, it slowed down the pings a lot. Like, press and hold was more for just, like, targeting certain abilities before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, let me get the range of this bow attack, or, you know, like you'd use it to, like, affect the spread of a weapon or something. And now it's become this, like, mandatory thing to do, like, the special Omega moves and stuff. And also the Omega moves are also regulated by mana. So your character is, your main character is a witch, and she's got like, so you've got hit points and mana that you have to manage while you're running around.
So yeah, that is weird. I don't really care for, unless you've got some sort of, this is pretty much in any fighting game. Like if you have a press and a hold, it's got to have, I don't know, some other sense of mechanics, right? Like in like Devil May Cry or something, it was, you could charge it up, but you also had like juggle mechanics. So you could like launch a guy, then charge up while you know you're not going to get hit by something, and then use the charge up smash to like hit him. You know, so like I need a, I prefer to have like a setup for that sort of thing rather than like, but also I do wonder with those moves, if the people making the game are then going to like balance around those to be like, oh, well, I expect for this boss fight, you'll be leaning on your Omega moves for these sort of things. Otherwise, it's just going to be a like pain in the ass, an endurance run.
The thing that they, I think the thing that they're leaning on is this, there's an arcane. So that instead of, you remember like the, I can't remember what the purple stuff was, but there was that, that mirror that you could activate all these different abilities. That was basically the metagame that would allow you to be stronger each time you did a run that you'd buy with the purple stuff.
Yeah.
So in this game, there's these arcana cards and they're essentially the same thing. And each arcana card is worth a certain amount of points. And you have a pool called Grasp or something that you can level up. And so like at first you have like 15 grasps, you can activate like 15 points worth of arcana cards. And like one of the very first cards that you can get, which is only 1 point to activate, is one that slows time down while you're charging an Omega move. And I feel like most of the game hinges around you having that active all the time. Because that, like, you know, you press and hold and then time doesn't freeze, but it slows down like 80%, like very slow, so that when you charge, everything's kind of being still while you charge it up. And I think, to me, that's their answer, is like, just always use that.
Well, I would almost rather not do that, but go back to their like transistor mechanic. Do you remember transistor?
Yes. Yeah. You like pause.
And where you just like pause and go into like a tactical mode and like plan out a set of attacks and then like activate that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know.
Because it seems like if they give you a thing that's like, okay, you know, to do your charge up move, you have to slow down time. It's like, well, just don't do the charge up then, you know?
Yeah. I mean, some of them you can, most of them, no, but some of them you can charge up more or less. There's a handful of them that like one of the abilities is like an, like you've got this big axe as one of your weapons, and your Omega attack is you do like a whirlwind where you spin around, and it starts as soon as you charge it, it's at 10 mana, you spin like around a little bit, but you can charge it all the way up to 20 and you'll spin around even more. And so like, that's where part of it is like letting you activate how long that happens for more or less. But I mean, I agree. I think there's other ways to do it. And like the left trigger, the left trigger button, I don't think does it. I really think a lot of it was just an excuse to have four times as many actions in the game as before.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like, I don't want that many, because it also means that now there's four times as many, there's twice as many like boons, because now there's boons that affect your basic attack and your basic special, and there's boons that affect your Omega attack and your Omega special. So it's just like so much more crap to juggle and think about.
Yeah, because you can still only get like one per room or whatever, right? We'll see. It's in early access, so this, it could go anywhere.
Yeah,
you know.
I think the other thing that I don't like is I feel like, again, because they put so much work into like already having like the weapons already do four things. Each weapon already does four things before you add like Daedalus Hammer effects and all that other stuff, that like they don't, they're not nearly as interesting, like, when you get the aspects. Because I don't remember, like, when you had, like...
Oh, yeah, when you, like, can change the like, the version of the bow or something that you have, or the version of the shield.
Because those were all...
Yeah.
I feel like they were very different in the,
yeah,
the first game. And in this game, some of them are, like, almost... Like, the basic activity is exactly the same with every aspect. And I feel like, again, they put so much work into all of the basic functionality of the weapons because they had to make them do so many things that, like, the aspect stuff just hasn't had no thought put into it. Because they're exactly like the basic behavior is exactly the same with every aspect of each different weapon.
Yeah, but yeah, and that's sad because that's one of the things I liked about swapping them is that they were, like, so wildly different.
Like, yeah, because I remember, like, the shield. I remember when the shield, when I first got it in Hades 1, that shield, the weapon, I sucked. I hated it so much. It was, to me, it was like just a garbage trash weapon, and I never used it. But then I got I think it was the aspect of Zeus or something, and the one that, like, when you threw the shield out, it would, like, spin and hit a whole bunch of times as it went out and back, instead of the very fast Captain America thing. And I loved that version of the shield, and I could tear up a room with that one. And so I ended up using the shield a lot once I unlocked that aspect because it changed the way it functioned so much that it was no longer a worthless piece of shit.
Well, I got a version of that shield as, like, one of the ones that I liked was the one that, like, instead of throwing the shield, you just shot some projectile out of it instead. Mm-mm. You remember that one?
All the other versions of the shield are trash. I only used the one when you threw it and it would spin and hit multiple times.
Yeah, the one that shot out a projectile ended up being pretty good. I had some pretty good runs with that one because you also, like, you could just stand there and just, like, I don't know, blast people. I don't know. But I guess just all that to say that the different versions of the shield were very different. And they all, especially depending on what boons you ended up getting with them, they all had, like, insane.
Right. And that was the reason why I love that one. Because I remember one of my best combos was I got the shield, and then I got the Zeus boon on my attack that would make it, like, shoot out chain lightnings each time it struck something. And I got the Artemis boon that would make it shoot out little homing missiles each time you struck something. So I would toss that out, and I was just bullet-helling everything to death. It was ridiculous.
Well, I remember you telling me, and then I ended up doing this as well, but getting, like, the gun.
Yes,
that one mortar gun or whatever, that the default one really sucks.
The adamant rail?
Yeah. Yeah, that thing. But if you get the mortar version and then you get the boon that changes it to, like, fire straight forward.
There was the Daedalus hammer that makes the rockets fire straight forward instead of launching out as bombs, and then there was the one that made you shoot all of the rockets at once, like, in a spread, and then
and so you could, like, point blank
and just Hades, yes, you go up and, like, just point twice blank, or blast something. Him with it. I swear I killed Hades in, like, 5 seconds with that version of the rail.
Yeah, that's still probably my quickest run as well. So Dragon's Dogma 2, Hades 2. Anything else? You said you played a bunch of stuff.
Okay, so the 250 hours one is the game. This is the game I've been playing.
Just let me guess that it's some sort of, like, weird, like, European developed indie rancher or something like that.
Kind of. I don't know what genre to put this game in. Other than to say it's kind of like a sim, but it's kind of like an RTS and an RPG and a builder. The game is called Kinchi, and I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Kinchi, that sounds familiar. Okay, tell me about this game, because I may have seen this.
Okay.
Wait, is this the weird thing where you're like, it's like some weird post-apocalypse planet or something?
Yes, and you've gotta, you're like, in planet post-apocalypse. It's definitely another planet because, like, there's all these weird, like, moons and planetoids orbiting the world that you're on. And the graphics are terrible.
Yeah, I've definitely... Somebody has talked to me about this game before and about how nuts it is.
It's very wild. So when you start out the game, you like, the thing is, like, you can play the game single player, but you can also add on, you know, recruit other people to join your crew. But there's a lot of different ways you can start the game out. You can start the game out as a single person, you know, just like wandering the wastelands. You can start out as like a guy with his dog. You can start out. You can start out as five guys.
Okay,
but like there's all these different ways you can start out. But like you can, I mean, all of them you can kind of end up in the same place. But like it's like when you're controlling a single character, you can play it almost like an RPG type of thing, right? Where it's like one guy and the combat is very basic. It's all like auto fighting, which is why it feels more, to me, it's more like a RTS type combat where you just kind of like say, you know, attack that guy and you just kind of have to let them go and do it.
Okay.
But so you can play it that way and just get one character like really strong and stuff. But like I went the route of just like, every time I could afford it, I found somebody else and recruited them. And then, like, I just built a base. And so I went, like, the base building option. And,
okay. So you can build a base.
Yes, you can build a base. You can also, like in towns, like, there's buildings for sale. So you can buy a house in a town and just put you in there and stuff. But you can also go out and just build your own base. And that has, you will have a lot of encounters if you build a base. That makes a lot of things happen. Like, base building, I'm just saying this, base building makes the most things happen. And it gives you the most motivation to do other activities. Because, like, so I built a base. And then I had these bandits that started coming up and saying, like, demanding. It creates all these, like, that's why I feel like it's part simulation, too. Because, like, there's all these triggered events that will happen based on certain things. So, like, I have a base, and it's in this area. It's within a bandit camp. So now that bandit camp is going to send a bandit diplomat over to demand that I pay them off, or they will attack me. And I have a couple of, allows me to have a couple of dialogue options. And I choose the dialogue option to stab that motherfucker in the face. And then his bandit crew runs away. But that means because I stabbed the guy in the face, they're going to come back with more guys and attack me later. So now I have to prepare my base for this attack when it happens.
So I really, really upset the gun door over there, Bandit King. He's not going to be happy about the guy just stabbed in the face. But I do like Bandit Diplomat. That is pretty funny.
That's what I call him. I call him the Bandit Diplomat because there's like no combat. It happens at all in any choice that you make until later. Like he comes back later and like will attack you.
I kind of imagined it like Humongous from like Mad Max 2, just like
it is
rolling up.
Yes,
and shouting.
It is very much like Mad Max 2. Yeah, so I've got my little base, and then these guys show up and they're like they're demanding stuff from me, and I'm like, no. And I'm the kid with the boomerang, and I just throw that boomerang and just lop somebody's head off, and then they leave and they're coming back with more guys later.
And they're gonna get your gas.
Yes. but then they're not because I'm going to be prepared for them to come back. But then like if, but they will keep coming back and making demands. And thus I go find their base and murder all of them, which I do. And so that like, that's why having a base makes, gives you like, there's not really a, there's not like a storyline or a quest system. There's just events that happen and you have to go react to them to make things stop happening. And so I go, find their little camp and just kill everyone there and wipe that camp out. And now they're not going to keep making demands of me. But a different band,
and that's how that works. Then, I mean, that's how it works in real life too.
But then a different bandit from a different camp. It's the same faction. There's a lot of factions. It's a very elaborate faction system. So there's all these factions. So a different camp from that faction comes up and starts making demands. And now I'm just like, fuck this faction in the mouth. And so I go and find their headquarters and I capture their leader. I go find their main headquarters. I capture their leader and I haul his unconscious ass back to the police and hand him into like one of the nation's police because there's a bounty on his head. And I get a bunch of bounty money. And now that their leader's been captured, no more bandits will mess with me. They're not going to be coming in and demanding making demands anymore because I have thrown their faction into such disarray that they don't have time for me.
Nice. Way to go, like, full Batman on them.
So,
like, Commissioner, here's your bad guy. Yes.
And that's the thing. That was the thing that, like, makes this so fun is, like, all these, just like, oh, God, this annoying thing keeps happening. And I have to do this all this work to make it stop happening. And so the other event that kept happening was I'm in this kingdom owned by a group called the Shek. I built it there because I was too lazy to go find a different place to build. I basically built my first base right where I started the game because I was like, oh, this is a good place for a base. This is because I had no idea about the event system at all until I started playing the game. And I was like, oh, these guys keep making demand. Like I learned about this as I started exploring the wiki. I'm like, why does this shit keep happening? How do I make it stop? And that was where like I learned that, like, oh, I just have to go find like this end boss and just capture him and throw him in jail to make these raids stop. But I mean, you know, if I were to start the game over, I would probably find a much better place to build a base. Let's just say that. But it
better than adjacent to a bandit camp.
It felt like a really good place to build a base because I needed resources and my base was like right next to like a very nice iron deposit, a lot of copper deposits, and a place with very fertile land and access to water. It seemed like it had everything I needed to get a booming base going. And now that I've dealt with all the bullshit, it is a really nice place for a base. But anyway, I was in the Shek Kingdom. And so they're also, the government is basically strong-arming me. So like they show up and they're like, hey, you're not from our country, so we're going to take all of the food that you have stored in containers. That's not exactly what they say. They say it in more gamey terms, but this is basically what they're saying. And so I'm like, okay, I'll pay your taxes, and I open my den. But what they don't realize is that I've taken all of the food I own, and I've stuck it in the pockets of every character in the camp so that when they go search my food stores, the cupboard is bare and they get nothing.
You've just got a bunch of people with fat pants. Yeah. Just like, I don't know where the grain
they're
is.
Like, they're like, food, let's raid them and make them pay their taxes. Let's go take all their food. And they run around and they find nothing. But like my guys have like sandwiches like poking out of their pockets, basically. So
you've done the video game equivalent of like tax avoidance and embezzlement.
Yes, I've made my it's that whole like when the tax man comes, you make it look like your house is really poor and you're all like dirty and you have no money so that they don't question why you're paying so little in income tax.
What do you mean? I gave all of this money to this 501c3 that my children own, of course.
Yes.
I have no profits, it's all losses. Yeah,
exactly. Right. So that was the easiest event to deal with, but it was still irritating. And so in order to make that event stop happening, I had to build up faction points with them. And you can build up faction points by bringing bounties to them, but like you need mm-hmm. to get their, you need to get their faction score to like 50. And each time I brought in a bounty, it would give me like 1 or 2 points for a bounty. Ugh. I'm just like, oh, they're never going to get there this way. So I'm like, okay, what's the biggest score here that I can do? And it was just this, there was this guy called the Bugmaster, and he's in this, and he was in this area okay. that was filled with swarms and swarms of horrible spider creatures. And I basically had to sneak a party of like 10 dudes past thousands of spiders to find his base and take him out and then bring his carcass back I brought him back conscious. You can bring them back dead or alive, but I managed to keep him alive enough. And then I took his bounty back. And when I did that, I immediately became like max out faction with them. Because that was like one of their biggest bounties. And so they were like, yes, you're the best person for bringing that in. But it was ridiculous to do it. And like there's all these different towers, and like some of them are ancient ruins, and there's all this technology you can go find in it and stuff. But like the way that I approach towers is stupid. I bring a bunch of building materials with me, and I don't like just take my guys in and just like fight stuff directly in the towers. Uh-huh. What I do is I bring all of my guys with them, and most of them stay outside. And what I do is I use the building materials to build a bunch of mounted turrets that like are they're like the defensive turrets you use to defend your base. But I just build them on the ground, like right outside the tower that I want to storm. And then I send one character to sneak up and just go like, blah, 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 and like make a couple of guys in the tower angry enough to chase me out of the tower. And then they get mowed down by turrets when they get outside. And that's what I've been doing to attack most of the towers. And that was how I got the Bugmaster.
Was you just lured him into your sudden surroundings of turrets.
Yeah, I lured all of his horrible spiders out and picked them off one by one with turrets. And then he wouldn't come out. He was smarter. He wouldn't follow me all the way out. So then I was just like, okay, dismantle the turrets, pack everything up. And then I got everybody in the tower. And then we all just ganked him at once. It's like 10 guys on the one.
Yeah. And you can't build the turrets in the tower.
No.
Okay.
No. I tried. I tried.
Yeah. I feel like you would have had to.
But he was very strong, and he killed like... He didn't kill... Like, this is the other thing that's great about the game, is like, if you lose a fight, like, losing a fight is sometimes like one of the stats is toughness, and the only way to build up toughness is to get your ass kicked. And... as long as like
it builds character,
as long as you don't lose a limb in the process, which can happen, and you can replace them with robotic limbs.
Yeah,
but I don't want to, because that's a pain in the ass. But as long as you don't lose a limb, and you have somebody with a med kit that can like fix you up and stop you from dying, like that's actually a good thing in the long run, because it means that character like just built up a bunch of toughness, and they'll have more hit points for the next fight.
Wow. So it actually does the whole whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger thing.
Yes. It's funny too. There's like,
can you make your own guys like punch each other?
Maybe, but I mean, it's easy enough because there's so many like things that are aggressive just out in the wilds that you can just send somebody out. You could just send a guy out to get beaten half to death by starving bandits that are armed with nothing but tattered rags and sticks, and they'll beat the crap, but because they're using blunt weapons, it won't, it almost certainly won't kill the person.
Okay. So you don't, it's not worth the effort to see if you can grind through self-mutilation, is what you're saying.
Right. Yeah. What's better is to just have one guy fight while other people are using mounted turrets, because there's also friendly fire with ranged weapons. And like a lot of my characters have been shot and one shot by my own turrets while a fight happens at my base. Yeah, but it's pretty ridiculous. It's a lot of fun for me, because there's all these like different, there's a, like 100 different stats, and abilities to level up. Like for base work, like laboring, there are stats like laboring and medicine and science, which are, you know, for researching new technology and for building things and for, you know, crafting and stuff. But then there's also like all these different stats for using weapons, and there's stealth skills. Like you can play a stealth character. Like one of my characters actually did the one that I used to sneak in and shake everybody up and then run back out, like got pretty good at stealth. And there's also training dummies that you can use to train certain things, certain abilities, like mostly the stealth skills, because that's a pain in the ass. But that character, assassination is another skill that you can use. And so basically while you're sneaking, everybody's got like, instead of an attack, when you see an enemy, there's like a percent chance on top of their head, which is like your percent chance to knock them out, which is uses the assassination skill. So my main stealth character got the assassination skill high enough that one of the towers I stormed, I didn't do my normal tactic of luring them out to the turrets, because she snuck in, and all of the enemies that were in there were like an 80% chance to knock out. And so I just started knocking dudes out. And as she was knocking them out, she got better and better, to the point where like the last couple of guys, it was 100% chance. I was like knocking dudes out. And she just leveled up her assassination skill so high that then the boss that was in there, she had built up enough assassination in that one spree to knock him out, to knock out the boss and kill him instantly. And so it was just like boom, 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 boom. Everybody's dead. Yeah.
That sounds pretty good.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun for me. Well, and there's and so like and the base building, you can get really complicated with it. Like I've created like most of my base building processes are automated, because you can set up AI commands. Think of it as kind of like the Gambit system in Final Fantasy XII, where like basically going from like farm to food, like there's like to make a sandwich, right? Like you have to farm two different crops. One of them is like a vegetable crop, and then wheat. And then so you have to farm the vegetable crop, and then wheat you have to farm, and then you have to take the wheat and put it in a flour mill and mill it down into flour. And then you have to take the flour and put it into an oven to make bread. And once you have the bread and the vegetable crop, then you take those to a stove to cook, which uses cooking skill, into a sandwich. There's, I don't
know. What the hell kind of sandwich is that?
Vegetable sandwich. I don't know. Yeah, it's not. You can make meat sandwiches, but they don't have, but like, to get meat, you have to go out in the world and like hunt animals. You can't. There's no ranching. One thing. I'm sure there's a mod for it somewhere, but that's the one thing that I wish the game had was ranching. But there are definitely a lot of mods for this game, and I haven't played any of them yet. But so there's like five different things you have to interact with there to make a proper meal. Right.
But so within like 3 seconds, I found Meat Farm, the mod for Kinshi.
But you can set up AI, basically AI actions for all of those things, so that you know, if as long as you have the storage containers and the machines and the all that stuff. So like you've got the farms, you've got a well to, you have to have wells to provide water to those farms. And you've got the bread oven, you've got the flour mill, you've got the cooking, the stove to do all the cooking and all that stuff. If you've got all of those, you can set up like jobs for your different characters to do so that they will just basically operate those devices. And you can set them, you know, basically priority order. So whatever's at the top of the list, they'll do first until they can't do that task anymore and they'll move on to something else. But like it's that part to me is like the most brilliant part of this game, because you can basically just set up this fully automated process where you're just
cranking out sandwiches.
Yeah, you're just cranking out sandwiches. Like, and the thing is, like the crafting stations are like kind of the final stop in that process. So you put them at the top priority because that's what you do when you have the materials, right? And with certain things like ammo and food, you can create a queue of things for them to craft. And then there's a button that says repeat queue. So basically, as long as you've got materials to make sandwiches, if that's the only thing in your queue, that's it. They're just going to pump out sandwiches as long as they can, whenever they can. And
okay. I see. So you say like, okay, you make sandwiches. If you can't make sandwiches, make bread. If you can't make bread, get the flour. If you can't get the flour,
farm the wheat.
Farm the wheat.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they just like, okay.
And so that's how all of that works. And it, yes. And so you basically just have one person like do all of these tasks. If you set up the priority of the tasks correctly, they'll just make it work as fast as they can. And it's pretty impressive how that system works. And so I have like, and again, you have, if you have storage containers, they'll fill up those containers. So like they'll make all these sandwiches, and when the storage of the food of the stove is full of sandwiches, then they'll take them out and they'll put them in a storage container. So if you've got, you know, 10 food containers, they'll fill them with just all the sandwiches they can make. And your characters, if you have, your characters need to eat. Obviously there's a hunger system. That's
why else would there be sandwiches?
Right. Exactly. If they have the food in their inventory, they'll just eat it automatically. But it's a pain in the ass to go find the sandwich in a container, make them do the action to go find a sandwich in a container and pick it up and eat and put it in an inventory. But if you have a storage container that's specifically for storing food, they will go to that storage container and just take a piece of food out and eat it themselves. And so all of that just keeps them kind of operating, you know, on their own. And you can do the exact same thing for crafting stuff. So you can say like, I want you to make a sword, and all of the materials required for a sword and all the machines required to extract those materials. You can set up the exact same kind of structure where you could just make somebody like pump out swords for a living and just have it go. And then once they fill up a container with swords, then you can load them up on like a pack animal and take your swords to a city and sell them all to somebody. Which is why I put my base where I did, because it was very close to a settlement where I could go sell things that I needed or buy things that I didn't have at the time. Because when you're first starting out in a base, you can't make everything. And that's how I spent 250 hours.
Well, I mean, you got to set up your food line and figure out how to manage sandwich-based tax avoidance and, you know, destroy all your rivals. Yes, exactly. So can you take out any of the like government factions?
Yes. That was something I forgot to mention. So when I made the Sheik really love me, they're warring. They had just, this was like set right after a war with another nation called the Holy Nation, which is a bunch of racists. The Holy Nation is, so I didn't really care about making them mad anyway, but because the Sheik liked me so much, the Holy Nation hated me all of a sudden. And so they started sending mm-hmm. people to attack me. But because the Sheik loved me so much, they would send some warriors to help back me up. And so now I had new fights happening outside my base. But fixing someone hating you is easier than making someone not hate you, and fixing that is easier than making someone like you. Because there are people you can go pay off to make to reset your faction status back to neutral. And so I paid a buttload of money. I paid a massive bribe to make them stop hating me. And I think I finally kind of evened it out. So I've mostly gotten rid of all of the irritating attacks that happen on my base now. But I don't think it's really possible to get rid of everything completely forever.
You can't just destroy the entire world.
I mean, I guess if you killed everybody, maybe there would be some safe places to build a base. But there's always like roaming bandits that you can just never get rid of. There's always like kind of like
just weird random. Yeah,
sort of like
stuff.
A random encounter kind of thing that would happen. Mm.
Well, it sounds like quite the game.
It's amazing. I have a lot of fun with it. I don't know if you would like it. I kind of feel like it might be something that you would just sort of hate.
Yeah, I mean, it really could be. It's one of the, like, somebody else, now that you're talking about this, somebody else told me about this game, and it just sounded really unappealing for me, because I was like, well, I mean, all the, like, emergent, random stuff happening can make for a good story, but if the mechanics aren't fun, I'm just not going to get it. I'm not going to want to deal with it long enough to get the interesting, funny stuff happening.
Uh-huh. I feel like you would start the game out, because if you did the default game, like you start as a single character, I feel like you would start out with that single character and you would go out and you would be like, oh, a goat. Surely I can kill a goat. And the goat would murder your ass. And you would just be sitting there unconscious, or you'd reload immediately.
Yeah.
Like, fuck that goat. And you'd be like, well, I can't even beat up a goat. I hate this game. I'm not going to play it.
Maybe. Especially if I have no direct control over the guy. I'm just like, I go try to kill him, I guess.
Yeah, you really, that's how it works. You just got to kind of put up with it.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's the thing I will say is, like, when you start the game, you are terrible. You are basically the weakest thing in the world.
Uh-huh.
And I will be honest, like, when I first started the game, like, my character's life started out as just, like, I was in this, like shitty town, like, not the good one that I'm telling you that I built my base near. It was this very shitty town that I started at, and I was like, what can I do? I definitely can't win any fights, so I'm not even going to try to fight anything. So I was like, okay, I just need some money. Maybe if I buy better weapons, I can be okay. So it's like, the way to make money, because it didn't cost anything to do it, was like, there was a little copper deposit right outside this town. And so I just like had my dude mine copper, and then I would take that copper and go into the town and sell it to the bartender that was like the only business in the town.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a bartender that also had some other like kind of random supplies. So that's what I did for like little, like, I don't know, like a game fortnight or something, like 2 weeks. For about 2 weeks in game, my character would just go outside, mine, bring all the copper back and sell it. And then like buy some better equipment, buy some armor, buy some weapons, still lose every fight, mine. like there are these groups of roaming bandits, like when a group of roaming bandits would show up, I would just haul ass back into town, because the bartender in the town had guards, and the guards were much stronger than the bandits that would attack me. And so basically I would just let the guards beat up all the bandits that tried to attack the town, and then I would loot the bandit corpses and sell the materials off of them back to the bartender.
I know you just killed all these guys, but here's their stuff.
Yeah, it's basically just like, like, I just run in. I've got some copper in my backpack. And I'm like, bandits. And then the guys are like, what, bandits? And they run out and kill them all. And I'm like, thanks for taking care of those bandits, guys. Here's all of their stuff. Give me money for it. Like, that's what I did many times.
Uh-huh. Well, that takes us to an hour. Do you want to talk about anything on the list of stuff?
I don't know. Some of the stuff I don't really even care about anymore. Like, what was it? The $130 game. I'm like,
yeah,
I don't care about that anymore. I'm definitely not going to play Star Wars Outlaws. Like, I will wait maybe 2 years for them to have squeezed every dime out of it that they can. And then they'll mark it down to like $20 or $10 like Ubisoft tends to do.
I think you can just probably wait like a month for it to drop down to that.
Because
it's not multiplayer, right?
Yeah,
it's
just a single player game. So they make like all of their money in pre-orders and then they drop the price to $10.
Well, here's the thing about these $130 versions of the game. Like, I don't know what comes in that, but usually that's okay. In the past, that version has had some kind of plastic hat or something, you know, like a big, you know, like a Pip-Boy or something. Like, that's the $200 version of the game. But this just looks like
digital stuff.
It's all digital goods. So it's like,
play it a week early, huh?
Yeah, you and me talking about waiting 2 years to play this game. And like, well, but what if you spent over twice as much?
No, 10 times as much as I'm willing to pay. I'm paying 13. I'm not paying 130. So pay 10 times as much to play it a week early rather than wait a year and pay only $13. No, this was the first. They took a swing with this game. This was the first, like, real fuck you for not buying a special edition. Because there's like a Jabba the Hutt quest line. So there's actual game content that you can only get if you pay at least $90.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. This is the first game. This is, as far as I'm aware, this is like the first big game that has literal like launch day content that is locked behind spending extra money.
I think others have had in the past, but usually they're like pretty insignificant or something. But I recall, hold on, let me see when the I think it was Human Revolution, the Deus Ex game. I don't know if that came out the like day and date with the Bane game, and it was like a some sort of like either pre-order DLC or something, but I don't know. I'll have to look this up later, but like, yeah, there was, so Human Revolution, you know, had all of these like throwaway tie-ins to the original games where it was like, oh, you know, Bob Page is just some NPC and Tracer Tong is like a teenager for some reason, and you, in order to like do the quest line with Tracer Tong that like doesn't mean anything and like doesn't like lend any, it doesn't hint at anything in the future that he's going to do, you have to like pay $20 or something. But you can, when you bought the game and you played the original like version of the game, like the launch version of the game, it was like some door or something, and you walk up to it and they're like, no, this is the Tracer Tong DLC. Like, just, it's in your face. Like, you can't play this. Mm-hmm. You didn't pay us money. Give me. Yeah. You know, I'm just like, what is that? So hopefully it's not as like in your face as that. Like, you can drive up to Jabba the Hutt's palace and it says like, did you pay us $90?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure in some ways it will be worse. Like, there's probably on the title screen, once you start the game, there's probably all kinds of pop-up ads and bullshit all over the place.
Like those like news banners and stuff that they have in games where they just like, check out the Jabba DLC, check out the cosmetics, these like three different jackets for your main character that one of them says Target or something, you know.
Yes. you can get the special Tampax sponsored outfit for your Star Wars character, the Tampax lightsaber. It's white with a red on the end.
Gross. It's got to be, no, that one's got to be a blue, like, because that's the kind of the colored fluid that they use in all those is the blue. Yeah, but it does have the string on the end, so there is that.
The string. Yes. It's to loop it around your wrist, you know.
Yeah, just like a Wiimote. Can you imagine? Like, the grip loosens up on that and it just, like, it flips around and, like, it chops off your legs because it's, like, still stuck to your arm.
Oh, why did I think that was a good idea? This was worse than just dropping it.
Yeah. Well, that's why you don't see those, even on the younglings, you know.
I feel like younglings, they'd have, like, safety lightsabers. Like, you have to keep the button held down on it, and as soon as you release, like, there'd be, like, a dead man switch on a youngling's lightsaber.
Uh-huh. I thought...
So you have to
hold it down?
You know. Yeah.
I kind of thought, from the original movies, that's how they were?
Right. It's like, as soon as you dropped it, like they were channeling energy into it or something, like, as soon as you release it, like, it turns off.
Or, like, you have to hold the button down in order to, like, be competent enough to, like, throw the lightsaber, you have to, like, use the force to keep that button held down as it flies through the air. Otherwise, it would just, like, retract, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, Star Wars is terrible now. But when you said safety lightsabers, I thought you meant, like, the Futurama nightsticks, where they're just, like, bonking bonk sticks instead of cutting things. So it's just like a big, like, very elaborate, like, nerf bat or something.
I'm sure they have something like that they practice with.
Oh, yeah. First. Just imagine, like, real children, right? And then, like, you hand real children a sword capable of cutting a human in half. And it's like,
right.
There's nobody's left. There is no survivors.
No. Because like, what happened is, be like, okay, how, like, because this is what happened the first day. Like, the lightsaber should be like, okay, now press the button on the side to turn the lightsaber like this, and the kid's like looking at it, and he presses the button and just immediately stabs his brains out.
Yeah, I would imagine like four guys in Jedi robes just like hauling a wheelbarrow full of children whose eye sockets are blasted out by that lightsaber, and like, we gotta figure out a better way to teach these kids. They just pour it into, you know, some sort of hole, I guess, on Coruscant.
Yeah. And that's why they're not really allowed to see their family.
Yeah, because most of them are dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't survive day one of lightsaber.
Yeah, which apparently they start at like four for some reason.
Right.
It's just like, there's got to be more important force related things to work on than lightsaber at four, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, teach him how to, like, I don't know. Well, don't teach him how to mind trick, that's for sure. You can't do that.
I mean, I feel like some kids are still getting potty trained at that age, so that's probably step one.
I mean, some kids, if they're in a real messed up family, are still getting like breastfed at that age.
Oh God.
Yeah. So that's, and so they did you ever see, they did do some like gameplay for that game, and it looks like, I called it Star Cry, 'cause it looks like Far Cry, but Star Wars themed and third person.
Uh-huh.
Like,
well, I think I called it that because I assumed that that's what the gameplay would be. It would be like Star Cry, with just like a bunch of like points on a map to go interact with and do the tasks or whatever.
Yeah, right. It's probably that. They didn't really show the question marks or the icons on a map, but you know, it was a demo, so. There was a lot of stuff in the demo that was very, like, having worked on game demos and knowing how staged everything is for, like, okay, walk forward, look to your left, showcase this thing that we're, you know, heavily scripting to make it look like there's something interesting happening. Mm-hmm. You know, okay, now walk forward some more. And like, you know.
Is it Star Cry or Far Wars?
No, it's Fargate.
Fargate. Fargate.
Well, yeah. Don't pre-order games. I say this as somebody who works on games you could pre-order. Like, don't do that. That just encourages them to do it. Like, go ahead and wishlist a game. That's fine. That doesn't hurt anybody.
And if you wishlist the games, you can sometimes get it for $7, like I got Kinchi. That's the best part of it, too, is like, again,
being notified of, well, of the price drop.
No, just that, like, this, you know, I've gotten so upset. Like, I've turned more and more towards, like, the tiny, crappy indie games because, you know, I was so excited for Dragon's Dogma 2 when it came out. And, like, I've just uh-huh. lost a lot of my excitement for, like, all the big AAA games. They've just gotten more and more, you know, like the Star Wars Outlaws, where it's just more, like, very clear that they're trying to, like, squeeze every dollar out of their fan base that they can and not offering enough in return in exchange. Meanwhile, I've gotten 250 hours of, like, all kinds of fun out of a game that I paid $8 for. And that money will go a lot further with that, like, smaller indie developer than it is ever going to go if I spent $130 on the Star Wars game to the actual people that make it.
Yeah, you spend $130 on a Ubisoft game. That's going right to that. Weren't they, like, convicted of some crimes or something? The people. I don't know.
It's going. So is it going to lawyers?
Yeah, at this point, probably it's going to lawyers. Yeah. If for nothing else than to, like, sue me for what I just said. Well, okay. Do you want to wrap up? What do we call this? What are we calling our 100th episode?
I don't know. 4-year-old with a lightsaber. That was, like, my favorite part of this, or something about improv classes, I suppose.
Yeah. I don't know what we would say though. This is why I need the improv classes.
Evening. Maybe I just call lack it of improv.
Evening at the lack of improv. That is, yes. That what it is? Yeah. Yes. Well, yeah, that's as good as anything, I guess.
Is that that or I want scones?
It's not going to be that.